I'm delighted to say that joining me on the phone this morning is James Healy, who is the national president of Machrane Pharma. Good morning, James, and welcome to Near FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
James, the issue of farm safety comes up year upon year, and we wonder, you know, is it that people aren't listening, or why is it? Because we seem to have, when you compare it to other sectors, an inordinately high amount of farm accidents every year.
I think there's a number of factors impacting it, and as you say, agriculture remains the most dangerous occupation, and I think while we had a much lower number last year, which is very positive, you only have to look at papers today to see that we've already had a farm death this year in County Mayo, and it's a tragedy again that there is another family with three young kids left behind. And I think I got great hope from 3 months of no farm death at the end of last year, because I thought that we were having an impact. And I suppose that, you know, there's no, we don't need to say that there isn't something positive happening just because of one, what could be an absolutely tragic accident. But I think the trend shows that we're not improving as quickly as we need to be. And some of it is what you say, that people aren't listening. But I think certainly some of it is that there's a huge amount of pressure on farmers, and many of them are not making as much of an income as they need to, so they probably end up working inordinate hours, and they're maybe doing a 40-hour job and then going out in the evening, and they're working long hours on the farm as well, and that can then lead to shortcuts being taken because they're tired or they're not fully alert, and that is probably a huge contributor to farm accidents as well. Some of it is that there is that culture in farming that it'll never happen to me. And that is probably a much more difficult thing to change, because we all think it's going to happen to somebody else. And that's probably the most dangerous factor, that, you know, you can raise these issues as much as you want, but unless people realise that it can happen to them as likely as it can happen to anybody, you won't change anybody's attitude.
Yeah, it might seem strange to people, James, listening to us this morning, that we, as a North Dublin radio station, talking to a man from Dunamore in County Cork about farm safety. But people listening should realise that less than 10 minutes from where I'm sitting, you are in the heart of probably one of the biggest regions of market gardening production in the country. So it really is on our doorsteps here. James, I will come back to that at a later stage in our chat. Having grown up in the country, and I may be even giving my age away with this one, but at that stage, you know, if you had a Massey Ferguson 35, you were doing really, really well. A good-sized farmer could aspire to a 135, and if you were at the top of your game and a big farmer, you had a 165 or a 168. And that was it. You know, I mean, that was literally sort of the range you were talking about. Time and tide waits for no man, James. And we have now progressed to a situation where we're looking at absolutely super tractors on the road. And the reason that I'm recalling that and asking the question this way, has farm accidents increased, and the severity of them, as machinery and the attachments for machinery have got bigger over the years?
They have, but not in the way that you might think. The new tractors, they're big, but they're safe. And it's not the driver is the person in danger anymore. You know, it's a big machine. They're sitting up in it. There's lots of safety equipment on that tractor. So it's not the person that in the machine is in danger anymore. You know, you talk about the 135, there was a danger of it turning over and there was no cab. And, you know, in a 135, the person in danger was the driver, but that's not the case anymore. It's on farms, and this is where they play a huge factor. The people most at risk of a farm death are those over the age of 65 and under the age of 18. And where these big machines are causing an issue is that if you're sitting up in a very large tractor, your blind spots are quite large and you can't see what's near to the tractor in by the wheels at the back and at the front. You don't have the same level of visibility in front of you or behind you. And I suppose older and younger people don't necessarily have the reaction to get them out of the way of a big machine like that when it's coming. The driver can't see as well as they used to be on smaller tractors, and that creates more opportunity for the sort of tragedy that we've seen. And I think part of it is that, you know, drivers of these machines need to be hugely vigilant when they're particularly around the farmyard. Out in the road, it's similar to driving a car or a truck. You're moving in one direction, you're looking for what's in front of you. But when you're in the farmyard, the person or the danger can come from any direction. And, it's similar to a factory, a forklift. You have beacons and you have all these things. But the most important thing is that the driver turns around and looks over their shoulder to see what's behind them before they reverse. And it's that sort of awareness that with these big machines we need. And I suppose it comes back to the fact, too, that there was always this tradition that, taking children out onto the farmyard. And absolutely, I think, if we want our young people to farm, they need to have an awareness, they need to have a love of farming. But there's an appropriate time and place to take children out onto into the farm to see the animals and to touch them and get a feel for them. And that's not when there's a tractor or machinery moving around in the farmyard.
Yeah, and of course, James, as we all know, small children and young children are immensely attracted to machinery and especially tractors.
Absolutely, and not just small children either. There's a lot of young fellas in particular are probably quite attracted to shiny machines, but it's that attraction and it's that danger that they wander out into the farmyard and the farmer isn't expecting them, and next thing they're in under, they're on top of the tractor and you don't see them, and it creates huge opportunity for tragedy. As parents, and I'm not one yet, but I look at my friends who have children and are farming, and it's about having the precautions in place where you have the appropriate facilities for children, or if they're in the house, that there's appropriate fencing to make sure that they can, you create that barrier between the farmyard and the farm so that that danger is minimized, and that you bring the children onto the farm at a controlled time where the danger, where there's no machinery operating, everything is, all the animals are fenced away and you're in control. You always have the children in your hand and you know where they are at all times. And I think it's just about taking precautions like that where, we're bringing young children onto the farm at appropriate times. And I suppose the danger with older farmers is that they don't realise that they've maybe lost that half a second of reaction time or that half a second of speed that they used to have. And whether it's getting out of the way of a machine or getting out of the way of an animal that might be coming at them, when they were 10 years younger, they probably would have gotten out of the way. But because they're that 10 years older and they've lost that half a second of reaction time, they're not able to get out of the way. And it's that awareness of our own bodies too is vitally important.
James, what is the most common type of farm accident?
Animals. Animals, I suppose. There's two very large cohorts and they're almost equal. It's machinery and animals. There's smaller numbers then of other types, but machinery and animals are the two largest causes. And it comes down to the factors that we've been discussing.
Yes, indeed, and I believe that we only have to think back to last year, and I think it was Michael Healy, Ray TD, was attacked by an animal that he had hand-reared, basically, I think, on his own farm in Kerry.
Exactly, and I suppose, that's where a lot of our older farmers are in the beef sector, and they're rearing maybe bulls or young bulls, and they're rearing animals that are that bit more slighty, that bit more likely to attack. Certainly when they're probably beef animals, they don't see the farmer as often. They're not, a dairy cow sees the farmer at least twice a day, and she's a much calmer animal. But, if it's a suckler cow or a bull, they're very prone to flight, and they're very sensitive to human interaction, and our largest cohort of older farmers are also in that sector. So you have a combination of flighty animals and older farmers creating a huge risk of danger.
Do you think James, and my guest is James Healy, National President of Macrona Pharma, that there is a sort of and I know you alluded to it earlier, it's something that's going to happen to everybody else, but it won't happen to me kind of thing, but that if you were in the factory setting or even an office setting, that there is somebody there, or at least there should be, or there's supposed to be somebody there who has sort of an overall responsibility for health and safety. But on a farm where, as you say quite rightly, sometimes it's a one, maximum two-person operation, that same consideration may not be given to health and safety. It's, the weather comes in, the job has to be done, everything is running and racing, and all thoughts of safety and indeed personal safety are put on the back burner to get the job done.
Absolutely. I suppose myself, before I started the role I'm in at the moment, I worked in a factory, and as you say, there was a health and safety officer, and you've to do an induction before you go onto the factory floor. You've health and safety training annually, and all those things are put in place because, and it's similar on the building sites, because it got to a point where society at large was unwilling to accept the danger that businesses were putting their employees in, and steps had to be taken. And I suppose the reality is that unless we as farmers and farm organizations take, grab a hold of this and take responsibility and take action, that somebody will do it for us. And if somebody is doing it for us, it'll be a much harsher, it'll be a much quicker, it'll be a much more probably expensive change to people's work life than if we do it ourselves, and we do it in a way that can accommodate farmers, can bring about a culture change, and can get them to do the sort of training that you're talking about. I suppose in Macra, we have a Macra and Pharma Skillnet, and we offer health and safety training for farmers, and that covers manual handling, first aid, tractor maintenance, animal handling, all of those sort of things. We've, chainsaw use and quad driving. And I think what we see is they're excellent courses. They're at a reduced cost for our members. And while we have a good rate of farmers coming through it, I just feel that it's something that every farmer should be availing of, because, if it reduces your risk of an accident by even 1%, that's a positive move. And I think, there's probably a lot of guys out there that think, I'll go in and I'll sit in a room and I'll listen to some fella blabbing on about health and safety, and sure, I'm not going to learn anything. And that's why a lot of our courses are they're interactive, but you're out in the farm, you're actually you know, dealing with animals, or you're, you know, dealing with the machinery that, you know, you'd be using on a daily basis. And we've taken that into account when we've designed our courses. But if we want farmers to come and do safety training and that sort of thing, we do need to take account of the sort of people they are and the sort of environment they work in, and that putting them into a classroom for 4 or 5 hours isn't going to work. And, you know, you have to take it out to their work environment. You have to make it relatable and show them that this training or this course is going to be of benefit to them, and that it's going to reduce their risk. And I think there's a debate around whether it should be financially incentivized or tied to other things, but I think I think we should try and stay away from that, because as soon as you offer something for free or you pay people to do something, it loses value. And I think for people to see a value in the training, I think they also need to be putting their hand in their pocket.
Yeah, well, of course, anything you have to pay for, you have a lot more respect for it than something you get for nothing. James, I want to paint a scenario for you, I'd like, if possible, if you could sort of finish out the story for me. I am a 64, 65-year-old bachelor on a 45, 50-acre farm down in Mayo. I have a tragic accident with the PTO of a tractor. I lose my arm following surgery or something like that. What's my future, and what's the future of the farm once I return from God knows how long in hospital and rehabilitation?
You know, it's a story that comes quite close to home, because my wife, her father nearly lost his arm to a PTO accident when she was 12 or 13, and herself and her brother had to do all the farming for probably the bone of 12 months, and he was lucky that he had a family that were able to take over, that they were able to do the farming while he was incapacitated. And he, at the time, he was a relatively young man. But I see now at the age of, that's probably 20 years ago, I see now at the age of 55 that his body, he made a full recovery and he was able to farm away again. But his body is now, you know, giving out at what it suffered at that time, and he has scaled back in farming. If you're talking about a guy of 64 or 65 that suffers a farm accident, it's a much different case. You know, that guy that you're talking about, if he doesn't have a successor or something like that, then there's nobody there to farm the farm. Maybe he's lucky and he has the support of neighbours that can keep it going, but he's not the same person that he was before the accident, and his ability to farm that farm will never be the same again. And that added to the costs that he will have had, you know, the costs, you know, that go along with a farm accident like that, and the recovery that goes with it, they're huge, and they could probably cripple financially the farm. So I think those are the sort of repercussions that people don't see when they think of a farm accident. And the short-term repercussions can be very serious, but whether it is that he loses an arm, but the financial ones can be just as serious for the future of the farm. And I don't think there's any farmer out there would like to see their farm go that way as a result of an accident.
And of course, the message there, James, that you are passing on is think before you do, and think safety. James, just before I let you go, and I'm very grateful to you for taking the time to talk to me, Farm Safety Week, we hear about it.
Yeah, off the top of my head now, I can't think of exactly when it is, but certainly I suppose we hear every week that this week is for this and this week is for that, but I think anything that creates a focus in the mind to highlight or raise awareness of an issue is positive. But we shouldn't just say that this is Farm Safety Week. Every week should be Farm Safety Week, and you know, while you might use Farm Safety Week to raise awareness, those lessons or those things that come into your head because it's Farm Safety Week should be carried and should become part of the norm every week of the year, because an accident can happen.